It's Sunday, December the 3rd, 2017. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer, narrowcasting from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Well, good morning on a wonderful Sunday morning. Gosh, it is so warm here. It was like 68 degrees in Oklahoma City. And anyway, I'm hoping, maybe to get some winter weather at some point. But hey, this is not a podcast about the weather. This is a reflection on the past semester's STEAM Studio, which is an after-school class that I have an opportunity to co-facilitate with our wonderful art teacher at our lower school, which our lower school is our elementary school that includes students in grades 1 through 4. And I think, yeah, we just had this open for grades 2, 3, and 4. And this was our second year to have the STEAM Studio. And so I really think, in an ideal situation, which obviously many times when we teach things and we lead things in school, it's not ideal. But in an ideal situation, when we teach, we have opportunities, number one, to collaborate with others, right? To have people here, watch what we're doing, work together, work collaboratively, but then reflect on what we're doing. And so there's a great learning cycle that Mitch Resnick, who's the author of the wonderful book Lifelong Kindergarten, has, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes, that, includes imagination and creation and sharing and reflection, and then, back to imagination. So this, and it's a learning cycle. And so anyway, Megan and I are, I think, trying to model and live out that learning cycle as we are continuing to get to collaborate and bring some hopefully excellent and out-of-the-box learning experiences to our students. So if you have feedback, as you'll hear us say at the end of the show, we definitely encourage you to reach out to us. You can reach out to Megan on Twitter at her handle, which is Seeing New Shapes. And then my Twitter handle is W Fryer. You can also leave a comment here on this podcast, which hopefully you are finding at speedofcreativity.org. And I am not positive if I will be publishing another podcast before Christmas, but wherever you happen to be in the world, hopefully you are looking forward to winter holidays and winter celebrations. And if you celebrate Christmas, or whatever it is that you celebrate, I do hope that the holidays are restful and re-energizing for you, and that you are able to have an opportunity like the one I'll be talking with Megan about to, just get to have a sandbox teaching and learning experience with students where you get to try new things, and especially getting to collaborate with somebody else and reflect on that process. It's a good thing. So without further ado, turn the clock back 2 days, I think, to December the 1st, 2017, reflecting with Megan Thompson about our fall 2017 STEAM Studio. Today is Friday, December the 1st, 2017. I am here with the amazing Megan Thompson in her terrifically inspiring art room at Cassidy School. And we have had several weeks, what was it, 8 weeks? Something like that? 8 weeks of a STEAM Studio. This is the second year we've done STEAM Studio, and we have been reflecting together and jotting messy notes down on a piece of paper about things that perhaps went well, things that we could improve, things we might do different, and just other ideas. And so this is a reflection on our STEAM Studio experiences. So I am the director of technology here at Cassidy, and one of the highlights and out-of-the-box things I get to do is work with Megan on the STEAM Studio and sometimes do some other things with Minecraft and things like that with our teachers. For people who don't know you, Megan.
I'm Megan Thompson.
Who are you and what do you do?
I'm Megan Thompson. I teach Cassidy, or teach lower division at Cassidy School. So I teach art for first through fourth grades.
And how did the idea of doing a STEAM studio and, cause you've done a lot of after school stuff with kids.
Yeah.
How did, what, and you went to San Francisco and you've got ideas and have read about tinkering. What, tell us about your thought process of how this sort of all came to be and what you envisioned STEAM studio to be.
Well, I know the kids love taking after school classes with weaving or with working with clay or with painting, and they love that, but I just thought one day that I don't have enough time in my classroom, or I haven't put enough time into tinkering or what a, you know, different STEAM class or different STEAM projects, and I would like to. And I thought, well, instead of just, you know, trying it with a whole grade level, I liked being able to experiment with little groups and see what the kids like and what they're drawn to and how I might be able to improve an experience for a whole grade level. But then some things that they love and it's great, and I would like to, you know, just push and experiment and be able to do that with a small group.
Yeah, and I love that too. It's like a sandbox because it's less, just less constraints, you know, in an after-school setting. Now, lower division, which for us is grades 1 through 4, you all have done STEAM nights for a couple years. Mm-hmm. Last year, and I got to come in for a little bit, you did an LED light greeting card.
Yeah.
Now, and what did you do this year?
And that was really hands-on for a STEAM night.
Well, it was challenging too, right? It challenged the parents and kids.
And the year before that, it was really even crazier. So this year was wonderful. It was the best. I think this was the best STEAM night ever. And that's when I had artwork set up for a glow show. So I had a little like mini art show, all their artwork from the beginning of the year where we used neon colors, fluorescence. So the glow show was awesome. And parents loved seeing that with their kids, and the kids loved being able to show the parents.
Well, and who doesn't want to go to a glow show?
So I mean, that's there was just cool. That. And then at the art show or the glow show, there was also an area to experiment with using fluorescent paints and the regular primary color paints, and then observing the differences under black light. So super simplified, great for first graders through fourth graders and their parents and their younger siblings if they happen to tag along. So just really simple, just being able to see the difference and how light really changes the way we see things. I love that.
Awesome.
I love that. There's so much to talk about just with light, I think.
Right.
So that was a fun way to look at that.
How did your trip to the San Francisco, didn't you go to the, what's the name of that museum?
The Exploratorium.
Exploratorium.
It was awesome. It was great. I was there alone and I don't know, that was fun, but I think it would be fun going with a group of people to just play a little bit more with people, but it was fun. I got some ideas, some notes, and I was really, I think one thing that I walked away from there super impressed and inspired by was their simulation of looking and how our brain detects different, I can't remember all the details, but just the way our brain picks up different patterns and different colors and kind of how it all kind of layers together, but the way it was set up and the way it kind of broke it down was really cool. So they had a lot of great different areas.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Yeah. So we're going to talk specifically about what we did this year and then what we felt went well and could be improved on. But some of the things we're thinking about too is just how important creativity and open-ended exploration and tinkering and a lot of the things that you hear people talk about with maker education, and especially now Mitch Resnick has a book called Lifelong Kindergarten, which we both, you know, looked at a little bit, but, you know, haven't read. And you know, just these ideas, not just for this after school program, but you know, how can all teachers bring in more creativity? How do we open up the door for open-ended building and exploration and collaboration and bringing in the artistic, you know, along with the technology? So, Megan, how is this year different from last in terms of kind of how we set up the STEAM studio? We still called it STEAM studio. But how would you describe it to people as far as what we did with the kids and how the setup was different than last year?
It was mostly different because we didn't try to have a whole bunch, like we weren't having a whole feast of things.
Yeah.
We had, you know, it wasn't a sampling of a lot of different things that they could experiment with each time. We narrowed it down. We brought it in. We kind of reined in some of our ideas to focus more on creating puppets and how we could use puppets to tell stories and how we might tell stories through different apps, like using a green screen. That was the idea. That's, I think, kind of what started us. So we focused on puppet making and different ways to have a stage even, you know, for the puppets to tell their story. And we kind of broke down the puppet into, well, what would your puppet's character be? What kind of personality would they be? Where would they be? And we could have taken it where they designed a setting for their puppet too, but we chose to focus more on, you know, make a puppet, and then the idea too was maybe we could bling the puppet out a little bit with some LED lights. And we did get to that. We did do that.
Not as much as I wanted to, and I hoped that we would. I started to kind of write down, you know, things that went well, maybe things that could be improved. And I put narrowing the focus. I think it was good. There's a balance there between, you know, not providing many choices and just saying, hey, we're all doing this. And then having kids feel maybe a little overwhelmed that there's so many different choices and possibilities and where do I start? I would have loved for us to go further with, and that was really kind of on me as far as like the supplies and setting that up as a center. Like maybe that would be something to improve for next year. And thinking about this year is just kind of designing it for a center so that kids could be a little more self-sufficient with a little bit of an introduction, you know, then here's your lights and here's your conductive thread and here's your example, object that has had a light on it and then some maybe short instructions so that they would be able to jump into that a little bit more. So maybe making it a little bit more like a kit. And I don't know, that some kids could have gone further with that if they had wanted to. But one thing that was good was we ended up using some apps called ChatterPix and Yak at Kids. And, you know, video is hard to do well. And what we're asking the kids to do with puppets and video was to really kind of improv a little bit and be out of the box with their thinking. And you made a wonderful planning sheet that I think that was after our second session, maybe, or third session. Can you want to talk a little bit about that and with how that played out with the kids doing a planning sheet?
Yeah, they spent maybe 1 hour working on that one day of the week. So that had some information to help them think about their character. What they wanted or what they were like, what they might sound like maybe was that part of it too.
And personality, and we just kind of, what are their favorite, I don't know if we said foods or colors, but just to try to get them to give some personality and some thought to this character. Didn't we do something about fears or what they were? I don't know. There's some really kind of off the wall things that came out of it. So it wasn't a script that we said, here, write this whole script and plan it, but it was getting them to, you know, kind of do some character development, just like you would do if you were doing a writing project and you would develop a character. So
the things it was good at, things it was terrified of.
Yes.
Possible voices.
Right. Cause that's one of the things we talked about as far as the voices.
And then an area to sketch it.
Right.
Kind of start visualizing how you want it to look.
Right.
And then our first video was introducing the puppet. Just an introduction alone.
Right.
Introducing that puppet. And then we thought, giving them time to play, let them introduce their puppet to their neighbor and just talk with each other.
Because we did not have a complete roadmap for all 8 weeks of how this was going to go. We had some general ideas. And the way that evolved, like that they were, once they'd filled out their sheet, they were going to introduce their puppet. I mean, the idea was that eventually they'd be able to interact with another puppet, you know, and be able to, you know, have a little impromptu interactions and stuff. But I don't know, for whatever reason, that just didn't, we didn't end up with some just amazing videos that we're excited to say, wow, world, you know, look at these. And so I'm not exactly sure why that was. Sometimes that can be the mix of kids or I don't know. I'm not sure. We did get them, like you said, with the workflow and the App Smash. Some of them did some green screen, you know. I mean, all of them did some green screen, but they were getting some pictures and putting that behind. But this is the first time, I think, that most of these kids have been introduced to any of that, right?
Working with green screen,
getting pictures.
So I was glad that we could teach them some of those skills, and so they could see that it's a long process. Something that, you know, you start with your ideas, and then sketches, and then you design the puppet, and then the background where they'd be, and then putting it into the green screen app. They were able to do that, and then they introduced their puppet or had, you know, something short to say with through their puppet. And they were able to do that. We used the Yak It and the other one?
Chatterpix.
And Chatterpix. And
which, one of which is not compatible with iOS 11. So on like one of the iPads that got updated, I think it might have been maybe Yakit Kids that stopped working. But anyway, those are both apps. You can just take a picture and, you know, add your voice and have a little mouth that, you know, you put over your character. And then one of them changes your voice, you know, to kind of make it silly.
You can go really low or really high.
You know, one thing we didn't do was to make some themes as far as like a public service announcement, you know, like what's your puppet going to try to convince you to do? What's something, you know, you want other people to know about or to be aware about, or what's your passion? And the reason I'm thinking that is Mitch Resnick, in this little video I was watching this morning on Lifelong Kindergarten, was talking about these four P's, and passion and play, projects, peers, maybe those are the four. But passion, you know, maybe that is something that we could have brought in, or could next time we do something like this, is asking kids, you know, to tap into their passion. Some of it came out a little as far as like just the things they talked about, but not
like, one student who started singing, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that exciting? That was great. That was great. Some out of
well,
the box.
And that can get students to start thinking about what they want to say and what message their artwork can convey.
Yes.
To people.
I think that's a strong, right? Because that ties into student voice.
Yeah,
that ties into them discovering.
What they have to share.
Right.
What they want to share.
Right.
One day that was really fun that the kids enjoyed was using the game Storymatic that you brought back from New York City.
Yes. Yeah. You want to tell about that box?
Storymatic was so much fun. And then I've been able to use it in the art room after that several times, where I have it right here, but where you would choose to.
It's a box. And so it has two different colors of cards. And I was thinking about it originally for like impromptu, or just like, maybe not impromptu, but like improv, you know, that if, cause what, you get one of each, or?
Well, you choose two yellow cards and one blue, and the two yellow cards might have something like, someone, or you just lost a tooth.
Here's an example. So two yellow cards. One says super smeller, and the other one says someone with a funny name. And then the blue card says, something is not where it should be.
And so having that alone, you know, that sometimes you might be able to come up with a story really quickly, but sometimes that alone is a challenge for students to think, how can I string these together to create something that's interesting? Some kids are,
right.
I don't know. And then some kids are, oh, got it. And so them being able to talk with each other and try to figure that out and just play around with that. Because then if you moved one and shifted one, that could change the story completely. So
right.
That was a lot of fun for them.
And you've used that in your other classes, right?
It's amazing. Yeah. So one day we did some sketchbook work. And I had them choose the two yellow cards and a blue card, and they had to figure out how to illustrate that. And they had to figure out what the story would be, because it could go, you know, a couple different roads you could take for one story. So that was really fun. And then after they draw it, they were so excited to pick new cards to draw it again.
Do you know what I just thought of that would be so fun? We were talking about next year, what we might do. We could do a sketchnoting after school. We could get some styluses and iPads and do Procreate, and like this with Storymatic, and I'm selfishly thinking about this because I want to practice my own sketchnoting, and I need like encouragement to do that. Might be really cool, because you could take this one step further and then add your voice to it. So we could do sketchnoting, and we can talk about sketching effects.
Cool.
And talk about,
well, they love
I would
this.
Love that.
They love this. I feel like
well,
there are a lot of opportunities.
I would love
this.
That.
I like that idea, because they were so eager to get to work on this. And then after they draw it, then you can take it further by adding a background or
yes.
by adding your voice.
Yes.
That's cool.
Maybe that is a cool missing piece, because part of what I hoped would come out of this would be just some really creative voices and stories and things. But like, that doesn't just flow out of everybody just by saying, hey, you know, tell me a funny story when I hand you this puppet.
Yeah.
So if we were doing something like that, like with Storymatic, and, you know, they were able to sketch, there'd probably be a lot of generative thinking even in the drawing process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm selfishly thinking about how fun that would be to spend several weeks with Procreate, just like exploring the different inks, or, 'cause my mind is blown thinking about all the possibilities in this one app, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I've got every color I could ever want. I've got almost every paintbrush. Well, right. I can be watercoloring. I could be using spray paint. I can be, I mean, that, so, you know, with your ability and interest in, you know, the sketching. Okay. Well, let's think more about that. That's exciting. The other thing we were kind of talking about was maybe, you know, doing something that was more center-based where, because some kids talked about wanting to do catapults, and we did some Rube Goldberg last year, and I've found that that's a very fun, you know, center that kids just love, and you've got some Legos now and thinking about Lego art. But I would love to infuse our school culture with more sketchnoting. Like, I would love for our students to understand, well, to be able to sketchnote, to have better skills, but then to feel empowered to take that sketchnoting into their classes and even into middle division and upper division.
And then beyond.
Yes. And I've been wrestling with that because I, like, bought a few styluses with some of our technology money. Not a lot. This wasn't very much money. And we're going to, you know, give those. But I'm like, what do we do with those? You know, and I think we'll still, even before Christmas, I think I want to do some small little, I got to come up with a cute name for it, but hey, come and learn to sketch note and get a free stylus. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about the traditional, oh, start with the teachers. But this would be, you know, start with the students. And I know my wife, Shelly, did a, I think somehow she was doing like 10 weeks because she was, went a little bit longer than we did. But she did Scratch Junior, and the kids were designing games and doing programs. And so some of those kids have taught others how to do it, and there's, like, more coding and game making happening because that skill has been introduced into, you know, third grade. So maybe, well, I don't know.
That's a skill that can be carried on.
Forever. Mm-hmm. Forever, right?
Well, I'm just amazed how with that app, Procreate, just watching different YouTube videos and reading a little bit about it, what you can do with it, and then just with the Apple Pencil, you know, and taking notes, and how college students are taking notes and highlighting in their textbooks on their iPad, and everything in one place.
Yes,
you know, for some people that could be a life changer.
Right. I mean, we're talking of there's different tools, different products, and you know, Chromebooks are great, but Chromebooks don't unleash your sketching creativity in the way that Procreate and a stylus or an Apple Pencil can. So that's pretty exciting. We mentioned specifically a few supplies, like maybe an iPad clamp or something that we could have that would, you know, hold the iPad down. Because I think that, again, with the video, there's all these moving parts. You know, the kids have got to hold it, but don't, you know, just, you know, make sure you're inside the screen and you're not off the screen. You know, keep it relatively still.
And we made some, or you made some cardboard holders.
Yeah, we made some cardboard holders, but they didn't really hold it at the right angle.
Yeah.
Like, I think those, when we did them, we were more doing stop motion, and so it was like Legos on the table, you know, more than puppets. So yeah, I think the angle was not great. I mean, there was definitely a lot of learning that came out of it, and I think that, you know, we had, I mean, there were, I mean, there's one student, I think, that didn't stay with us, but I mean, we had most of the kids stick with us, and I think they enjoyed it. I'm energized thinking about the sketchnoting thing. And I'm so, like, the fact that this Storymatic, you know, was successful, and it ended up being something we used in the Steam Studio. But
they had a lot of fun with it that day, too.
Yeah. Well, this is a catalyst for creative stories and just imagination, right? And I think that's part of what we want to do, is encourage imagination and encourage, you know, kids making connections. And I think the most beautiful, last year, my favorite moment was, and you'll remember his name, when he made his game.
Yeah,
right?
Alexander
made his game. So that's Alexander that's in Shelley's class now, or he was in,
he was in
the Scratch Junior, because I just was watching a video that he had done. But yeah, he made his own cardboard game or whatever, and it seems small, but like, he had thought of a game outside of the box, and he made it. That was my favorite from last year. This year, I think my favorite moment was when we had a student sing a song with her puppet, you know,
yeah,
and record it.
Came out.
And we're like, look at that. That is so great. So it is nice to remember those moments. I mean, there's a lot of things that happened and things you're like, oh, do better. But anyway, that was.
And then another girl that was in our class, she ended up making little finger puppets for everyone in her class for, gosh, I guess it was for Halloween. So some were witches, little zombies, and she gave me one, and I was amazed. She was making them at home, and I thought with her grandma, but her grandma said, great. Oh no, she did all of that herself. So she was really into the puppet making.
That's great. And that, there's a success.
They're so cute.
Right? Inspiring a student to take, you know, what you're
talking
about.
And then on our very last class, I showed everyone in our class what she had made. And so we made, little mini puppets.
Did you take any pictures of those?
I think so.
Yeah. We'll have to go back and see if you've got some of those, cause that's awesome.
Yeah, I think I did. It was our last class, so I got a group picture of everyone holding theirs. So
okay.
That happened.
So how can we bring more creativity and idea and encouragement to bring creative making into all of our classes, not just, you know, the art class or not just the after school?
It might be part of just letting go of this solid ended project, you know, knowing what we have to create or what they have to make or what they have to learn, you know, knowing.
Having a more open-ended project versus a closed-end.
Kind of letting go of getting there and opening up to the possibilities of what the kids might discover on their way there. Like giving them, I don't know if that made any sense, but.
It's like open-ended. Having it open-ended, not defining it at the beginning to say, here is what your puppet will look like. And
well,
it's
I think a lot of it is, this is what we're doing. This is how you do it. How do I do it? You do it like this. How? You do it exactly like this.
Right.
And letting the kids figure it out on their own and kind of letting go of, well, we have to have it done by this time.
Yes.
And just.
Because I always found, we mentioned catapults, one of the students mentioned, you know, catapults, and I love doing that as like a STEM, you know, theme, you could make it more steamy, project. But it was always a challenge to not show the kids one example and have 99.9% of the students make it just like your example. And, right, that's a ginormous puzzle as far as, it's like a constructivist challenge. How do you, you know, not have students simply copy, but really think outside the box.
And that's part of the challenge, is letting them, you know, come up with that on their own.
You know what? I love the sketchnoting idea. We'll have to, we're not just, I guess, commit to it. But, like, the fact that Sketchnote does record the video, too, of how you draw. Like, I mean, that just, I just see that opening the door to storytelling and creativity and to some of the things that I think we want to go for with this, but.
Well, and that shows their process, and that's something I love.
Exactly.
Because I think a lot of times it's sort of overlooked, and that's kind of the fun part.
The process,
you know,
of getting there?
Yeah, how you made, and those mistakes, and you can see maybe going back and erasing those mistakes, or just, you know, showing all that and how it builds up to this one thing that you have finished instead of focusing on that final product.
Yes. We didn't mention Seesaw, but that was something for the first time we did for all of our enrichment classes. We just made a single Seesaw class that we put all of the kids into and the teachers were in. And, you know, it's only visible. The things that are visible are the things that were shared to everybody. And there wasn't much because there was like 70-something kids in there. So it was really a way, you know, for parents, again, to see what was happening. But for teachers that were in there, I guess, then there was a chance to have them see what was happening in the other classes. You know, you could do that. I don't know. We'll have to think about that.
I liked
that
being able to share, which, you know, what we did.
Well, and maybe we could do something in lower division that would be, I don't know, a creativity channel. Or yesterday I met with all of our learning specialists, with Amy Hanneman and with our middle and upper division and with Marcia, and we were talking about software and accommodations and ways that, you know, we can help students with visual impairments or, you know, speech to text or all these different things. And we put Seesaw in there because it's a great way for students to talk about what they're learning, to take a picture of it, alternative assessment. And so she went through and was just showing her daughter, you know, what kinds of things she was doing and creating and stuff like that. And I was like, this is great, you know, because some of the other specialists had not seen that, and it turned on some light bulbs. So like, oh my gosh, wow. I would love for us to find time for that kind of sharing to happen. Cause I think that our minds, you know, we only take on so many new things at a time or whatever. And anyway, I don't know. I think that's something good to think about. I don't know that it was a raging success as far as the Seesaw class that, you know, was just transformative, but it did give a way for us to share out some of what was going on, some of the videos. We, again, didn't like end up with some Steven Spielberg masterpieces or whatever. And who knows, maybe we had some parents go, what the heck are they doing in there, you know? But it was, I mean, there's process. I don't know. I guess we need to talk to some parents and find out what they, I don't know. Did you ever get any feedback from parents about, maybe we should do that. Why don't we do that? We can send them a little survey. We could, make a little short 3 or 4 question thing and just, you know, email and say, what was your experience with Steam Studio? What was the best thing? What, you know, what would you like to see again or different? And then that way that'll help us get a little feedback.
Good.
We could do that. Okay. Any other thoughts that you have about the Steam Studio?
Well, my mind is just rolling for next time.
I'm thinking about sketchnoting.
Next time. And then next time I'm also doing a clay class. And then I also want, or in the spring I'm doing a clay class and then I wanted to do a Lego art class.
Oh, good. Well, my wife is going to do another Scratch Junior class, and we were talking about collaboratively doing one with Hopscotch, which is an iPad app that's more advanced coding. But this week we've just done a couple evening presentations about Scratch. She did Scratch Junior, I did Scratch. And then I'm listening to Mitch Resnick, and I'm going, maybe we should do a Scratch club, because we talked about this before. There's a student who's now in 5th grade who's really an amazing digital artist in Scratch. So anyway, I think we're gonna do something, my wife and I, something collaboratively with coding, either Hopscotch or Scratch. Okay. And it might be fun. It might be fun. The sharing that you can do with Scratch is just much better than you can do with Scratch Junior or with Hopscotch. And that digital art part is strong, right? I would love, because we haven't done it this year yet, and we've talked about it, I'd love to amplify her work and encourage our other kiddos who are interested in art to see possibilities of digital art and having a place to share it and to have other, you know, and then to animate it, you know, to make it move, to make our characters talk.
Well, Scratch Club, would that be for lower, middle?
I think it might be, yeah. I was thinking that it would be like a 3rd and 4th, but maybe also 5th and 6th, because we could invite that student and some others. It'd be kind of a bridge class. But, you know, Scratch Junior really is for the younger kiddos. You can go up to 3rd and 4th, and there's cool stuff they can do. But especially if they've done some cool stuff with Scratch Junior, I mean, like, this is the low bar, high ceiling. I mean, Scratch is like, there's so many possibilities. Anyway, we can chat with Shelley about that and visit. But that would be, because I was thinking, even if you were doing just lower with 3rd and 4th, you could have a guest speaker. Like, you could have her come from 5th grade one day and, like, show what she's doing.
Well, and I wonder who in upper division, too, because I wonder who she might.
Well, Glenn Emerson does some Scratch, I think. I think he does some of that in some computer classes. So I'll chat with him and see. Have we ever done an after school like that that involves?
No.
See, multi-ages can be cool. I mean, when you have kiddos that might not normally be together, and I would, you know, we could do like a 3, 4, 5, 6.
I love that concept. I don't know how that would work time-wise, you know, schedule.
Oh, right, because of sports. Really cool. Oh, because of sports and stuff. Huh. So. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll have to talk. Maybe we'll just have to bring somebody in on a special day as a guest speaker or something. But if the scheduling could work, you know, sports-wise, then, I don't know, depend on the kid. Some of them do, like, a conditioning thing. They do, you know, they're not all just doing soccer and swimming in middle division. But that's different for 5th and 6th, right? It's only in 7th and 8th they have mandatory sports. Well, Rachel, yeah, she started in 7th and 8th. We'll find out. But those are good ideas.
Lots of good ideas.
Well, Megan, how can people connect with you digitally if they would like to follow more of your amazing artwork?
You can find me at Seeing New Shapes on Instagram, or not Instagram. Well, Instagram is my name, but on Twitter at Seeing New Shapes. And then there's a hashtag, Seeing New Shapes on Instagram.
Oh, okay. You've been using that.
And I'll use it, and it says 0 images. And that's not true. There are images there. I don't know why.
Really?
But yeah.
You're using your own hashtag. Well, in fact, I just tweeted my first one with Cassidy Art. So I've been doing Cassidy Learns. But I was like, well, these cool pinch pot teacups and saucers are Cassidy Art. So, yeah. And I am W. Fryer on Twitter. And Megan has seeingnewshapes.cassidy.org as her website.
That's right.
Yeah.
Find you there.
Yep. And then I've still got lots of older STEM lessons on stem.westfryer.com. And then we, I'll post this on my blog, Speed of Creativity. So we would love to hear from you. If you've got any feedback, if you've actually listened to this, please reach out to us. You can leave a comment on this post, which you hopefully found on speedofcreativity.org, or you can reach out to us on Twitter. So have a very happy holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever it is that you're going to be doing. Hopefully it will be restful and sustaining to recharge you for the next year.
I'm going on a road trip.
Oh my gosh.
First time in my life.
I heard you're driving to Seattle.
Vacation. I'm excited.
Oh my gosh.
Well, happy holidays to you. It's so long farewell.
Moving at the Speed of Creativity podcast are independently produced by Wesley Fryer and are licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Only license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.